In the name of Jesus, Amen. In the ministry, there are things that you regret later and that you do not want to repeat it again. For me, one of them was the baptism of my son. Not that I regret his baptism, of course, but the manner I handled it. He was born on the 4th of July. Yes, he was making a waterwork as we were watching the firework. The date of his baptism fell on the 25th, which happened to be my father's birthday. Since he was in the United States, I asked him to come to New Jersey to baptize my son. I did not have any profound thought on it. I just thought it was nice. I thought it was to honor my father, who was having his only grandson. I wanted to please him and everyone. But as I studied further, I learned from the scripture that when Jesus instituted baptism, he also instituted the office of the holy ministry together. Our confessions are aware of this when they cite the same passage of Matthew 28 for both baptism and the office of the holy ministry. A pastor doesn't have to look for the tasks that he must do. Baptism doesn't have to look for a mouth and the hands to perform it. I was not only father to my son, but I was his pastor. By asking my father to baptize my son, I gave up my duty in the office. Moreover, the grandfather-father-son relationship deflected our attention from what our Lord is doing. A pastor may not intrude or suffer himself to be intruded into that which is the responsibility committed to another pastor. A pastor is held by his ordination vow not to suffer holy baptism to be diminished as less than all that it is, and the baptizer to hold their pastor to his ordination vow. In Luther and the Confessions, we don't hear much about who is given to baptize, as we don't hear often as to who is given to absolve or to administer the Holy Communion. It is assumed that the pastor is the one who does them. What Luther says in Large Catechism, therefore, everything in Christian community is so ordered that everyone may daily obtain full forgiveness of sins through word and sign, is explained by Oxford Confession Article 14. Concerning how things are ordered in the church, it is taught that no one may publicly teach, preach, or administer sacraments unless he is called in the orderly way. Where Luther is implicit, Melanchthon made it more explicit. Baptism is given to be done by the office of the holy ministry. Treatise 10 confesses, we have a sure doctrine that the office of the holy ministry proceeds from the general call of the apostles. You may be wondering why I speak of the office in relation to baptism, while our catechism text confesses the water in relation to baptism. Well, because we are at the seminary. That's one way to answer this. But more importantly, it is because the question, how can water do such great things, is a question on certainty. Luther is very careful about how he answers that question. He avoids any power talk. Yes, water is and can be quite dangerous. It saves, but it also kills and destroys. I know that very well from the devastating earthquake and tsunami back in Japan a couple years ago. No, certainty of baptism, according to Luther, is not on the almighty power of God. It is not on the fact that he doesn't die, but it is because of it is done by Jesus. Jesus has done it because he wanted that to be done. Why can water do such great things? Because God's word is in the water, that is a life-giving water, rich in grace and washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit, as we read it in Catechism. Our attention is directed to Jesus' use of the water. Likewise, why is pastor given to baptize? Because that is the way Jesus instituted baptism. Where there is the Lord's mandate, our attention is directed not to a pastor, but to Jesus who sent him. A pastor is held by his ordination vow to make disciples by baptizing and teaching. Water is not an independent item. If so, we may follow the way of the history of religion school, which first considers a religion and then recognizes that in any religion there is a use of water and washing, and finally observes that there are such universal religious use of the water in the Old Testament, intertestamental period, and yes, with Jesus in the New Testament. A pastor is not an independent item either. If so, our attention goes more to the person of the pastor rather than Jesus, who uses his instrumental service. The mandate of baptism is found at the end of the Gospels. Jesus saw to it that what he had achieved on Calvary gets delivered, so that we are left with no doubt that it is the Lord who is delivering the forgiveness. He has instituted the office of the holy ministry. Listen to the words of Luther. It's a bit a lengthy one, but it is a baptismal sermon in 1540 out of Titus chapter 3, verse 5. As we are born of Adam and Eve for this life, so the same old man born before in sin and unto death must be born again anew to righteousness and eternal life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet outwardly nothing more is there and nothing more is perceived than water and the word, which is all that is seen with the eyes and heard with the ears. Nevertheless, it has such power that the man who was so conceived and born in sin is now born anew in the sight of God, and he who before was condemned to death is verily a child of God. Who can grasp this glory and power of holy baptism with human senses or understanding? Therefore, in baptism, do not look to the minister's hand, which takes simple water, and his mouth, which speaks a few words over it, which is a trivial act that only fills the eyes and ears and otherwise accomplishes nothing, as blind reason permits itself to think. But rather look to the word and act of God, by whose mandate baptism was instituted, indeed who is himself the baptizer. If I am to be certain of my baptism, I must look to the founder and listen to what his word and mandate say. True, the minister must be there. He must lend his hand and mouth. But I must not allow my attention to be fixed upon the visible baptizer, but rather upon the unseen baptizer who instituted and ordained baptism. To him I must look, no matter who the minister may be. How can water do such great things? How can a pastor redeem a sinner from death, the devil, and sins? Because they have the mandate of Jesus. Baptism and office, again, belong together. So, dear fellow baptized, our baptism is absolutely certain. We bear his name. His loving commitment to us remains unshaken. The heaven is wide open to us. Dear brothers, the future pastors, soon you will get to baptize sinners, as you will also get to preach the gospel comfort the sinner, and administer the Lord's body and blood. This is such an incredible privilege. We get to do this. Let's not deflect people's attention from what the Lord is doing. A pastor is held by his ordination vow not to suffer holy baptism, to be diminished as less than all that it is. Amen.